Doing a series to boldly go, and we last week heard from Dave Van about his experience of mission, which was a while ago, but they're now back in the UK and supporting other missionaries and still keeping an open heart to what God has for them. This week we're going to hear from Julian and Annie. I've known Julian and Annie for quite some time, which is exciting. They're a fantastic couple and a fantastic family, and they really have demonstrated to me the gospel through just the way they do life. Just one of those couples and families that just do life in a really real, honest, proper way, and that's always inspired me. Julian definitely encouraged me early on in my Christian walk that actually it was okay to be highly cheeky and a Christian. So I saw a lot of that in Julian. So that, you know. Annie and I actually worked together for a while, which was fun. Well, it was for me, maybe. But these guys are just, you know, they're just a real example to us in River Church, and they've just done so much, and their story's incredible. There's so many people in River Church who you just spend time with, and you just think, wow, my goodness, how have they managed to do all this stuff and just impact with the gospel in very kind of business ways, but also missionary and church and everything else. And these guys are fantastic examples of that. So I won't say any more, but I would ask you just to give them one last big cheer and round of applause as they present to us about how to boldly go, particularly with a focus on Mozambique. Julian and Annie.
Hello, everyone. Well, thank you very much for inviting us. Thank you very much for wanting to hear a bit of our story about Mozambique. Just wanted to give a bit of context into that as to how we fit into River. And Julian and I became Christians in our teenage years. We then met each other at a youth club in Maidenhead. I'm sorry, some of you guys know a lot of this because lots of you have been around for a lot of years as well. So please bear with me or with us. But just want to give you the context. So, yeah, we became Christians. We were part of the youth group in St. Mary's Church in Maidenhead, which then became River Church. It was probably Marlow Christian Fellowship and goodness knows how many things. But we're talking about 1975. That was the year that River first came into being. That was the year that Julian and I started going out. 1979, we got married. The 1980s were, yes, well, if I'm ever asked to go to a 1980s party, I just get out a pregnancy smock because I basically was pregnant for the whole of the 80s. We had four lovely children, one of whom is in the room today, but I won't embarrass her too much. Other bits of context, Sheila Wilson was my friend at school, and she invited me in the first place to the youth club. I guess our other claim to fame is that Julian is Alistair's twin brother, for those of you who know Alistair Bullen. So, yeah, we've been around quite a long time, and we're a pretty ordinary couple. I've given you the background, and so we toddled along with the kids. And when we were in our mid-30s, I guess, completely minding our own business, God intervened, I guess is what you say. I read a quote on Facebook the other day, I'm sure some of you may have seen this, about Martin Luther King. Obviously, his famous speech, "I have a dream." But this person was saying, actually, the dream had Martin Luther King. And it spoke to me because it made me think, you know, that's a bit what it's like when we become part of the kingdom of God, when we choose to follow Jesus, that it's his dream that takes hold of us. And he has a dream for the world. And, he has a dream so much that he sent his son to save the world. And yeah, unbeknownst to us, we sort of got caught up in that dream. And so one Friday night, we went to a meeting in Court Gardens down the road, and somebody was talking about mission. for different things that you can do to be involved in mission. You know, that mission is not an optional extra. Mission is not something that the odd one or two people do, but that we all have a part to play. I mean, the church is mission. Four different points, you know, you can stay, you can pray, you can give, you can support in other ways. And I disqualified myself from all of them, although I did totally get what the guy was saying. So the next day, we go to another meeting with this guy, and he basically prophesied over us that we would live short-term in other nations. And we sort of think, sorry, you know, there are people sitting next to us who are far better qualified to do this than us. Lord, what are you doing? You know, do you not know that I am seriously traumatised by flying? I am just the most unlikely person. But 2 years later, to cut a long story short, we find ourselves going to Lesotho as a family to live for 2 years. To work with an indigenous church there, Mike and Adeline Collisan, who some of you will know. Yeah, 2 years we were there, amazing experience. I think, you know, changed the family, changed us. And we came back and thought, well, we'll be here for a couple of years and then we'll pootle off again somewhere else. It actually took us 12 years to get out of the country again. But when we left the next time, we were off to Mozambique. So that is the context. And Julian is going to talk a bit about Mozambique.
Cool, Annie. Brilliant. So there's Annie learning Portuguese, age something or other. I was 55. Annie was a lot younger than me, obviously, at that point. And I think we just had that verse on at the front there from Micah about doing what is right. And I just want to ask you a question this morning, really, is can you do what's right? Would you say that's a yes or a no to that? Yeah, you can. So, but that needs a choice and a decision to do what's right. So we just want to encourage you this morning to do what's right. To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So that's really the verse that underpins what we've been talking about. So we had to go and learn a new language. For me, it was fabulous because I had a really, really full-on, busy job. And I could just go to Porthoven for 12 weeks, learn Portuguese. Brilliant. And drink wine and stuff like that as well. So, and then after 12 weeks, we headed out to Mozambique, being the only English people in a community of 65,000 people, having a house that had been half destroyed by a cyclone, with 14 people working on the house, only speaking in Portuguese, and me trying to instruct them in terms of how to fix this house. So that was entertaining. We've done some cool things, we think. Working on a community centre, there's now a community centre which is fully operational. Had their first leaders meeting in February, 300 leaders meeting in the first ever facility of its type in northern Mozambique, and I'll tell you a bit more about that as we go along. We're really proud of the stick women, we call them. These are, Mashamba is a farming area out in the bush, and you guys helped us put some money together to enable these ladies to farm. They didn't have any tools, they didn't have any land, they didn't have any housing, and the money that you guys helped with enabled that to happen. And now that continues. This is 2008-09. That project has expanded and continues, is self-sufficient, and now the brilliant thing is the government are giving them some seed each year. Isn't that cool? I've never ever been taught how to teach, not ever. But I saw there was a need for these young lads to learn English. So I decided to do English lessons. And I'm very proud of this one here. This lad here is Kabila. And last time I was in Mozambique, he was translating for me. So I'm speaking, I decided to speak in English, and he translated straight into the local dialect, into Koti. And I said to him, Kabila, what are you doing now? And he said, well, pie, he calls me pie, not pie as in pie you eat. pie said, I'm teaching English. And I said, why are you teaching English? And he said, well, pie, because you taught me. So I felt I had to. And he's one of our youth leaders. He's been away to Bible college, back in the community, one of my heroes. And I'll tell you a bit about more one of the other guys in there in a minute. You've also sent money for flood relief. So when we were living there, we had all sorts of issues with famines and the like. And there was an enormous flood at one point in time during our involvement with Mozambique. And you guys enabled food to be sent out and people to be rescued. So you guys have been making a difference to people's lives in Mozambique. And also, really cool thing, how many people here have done the marriage course? Anybody done it? Yeah? Well, there's like a contextualized African version course called MC101. And we've started to get that ball rolling in Mozambique. So these are culturally Muslim people. They would be called folk Islamic, so they believe in magic and Islam. And they're becoming followers of Jesus. And these young people are recognizing that polygamy isn't the way to go, which is the culturally thing that they do in their society. The men just go from lady to lady to lady. But these young people are making choices about making commitments to one another. And they're already making those choices in the absence of any marriage course, in the absence of any real training on that, just God speaking to them and saying, we need to be faithful to one another. One of these guys, his neighbour said to him, so you can't be Koti. So I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the way you treat your wife, there's no way that you're Koti. And he said, no, I am. I come from this place. This is my village. This is my community. But I'm a follower of Jesus. So marriage course is going to be a really powerful thing in this community. And it's going to be made available to everybody in the community, not just followers of Jesus. Village by village, we're going to see some transformation as a consequence of that happening. Literacy. How many people here can read? If I did that in Mozambique, the proportion of people who put up their hand would be drastically less. Drastically less. And you just think what you access by what you're able to read. We're teaching these people Koti. Now you think, why don't you teach them a more useful language? Yeah? Actually, professionally, teachers tell us that the thing to do is to teach people in their own language first, because they've already heard it, get them reading it, getting writing it, and then they can acquire other languages more easily. The only materials that we have, unfortunately, to teach them in are the Bible. Isn't that a shame? So we use the Koti scriptures that we have and Wycliffe Bible translators who worked there for 13 years translating bits of the Bible, and we're still working on that now in the community. We use their materials, and we're running, like I say, 24 classes, 1,500 students, 3 or 4 lessons a week, and a teacher is highly paid at £10 a month. So if you'd like to sponsor a teacher sometime, let me know. And this lady is Mario Emma, and when we were there last time, some thieves had come and taken everything from her house just while she was out teaching. So with some money that you guys had helped with, we bought us some rice and some food and put things back in her house again for her. Annie will tell you that this has been a work of great patience. I'm a construction professional working in the Czech Republic, delivering a very, very large construction project, been living there for 2 years. I've always worked in the industry, and over the last 4 years, we've been working on this project, which has not been easy. And but just a month or two ago, the picture on the right makes me celebrate, because that's 300 leaders from an indigenous church without any missionaries or white people there having their conference at the beginning of the year. Isn't that cool? Now, you'll notice that the end of the building looks a bit open. It partly is for ventilation, actually, but also the South African contractor forgot to deliver the other end of the building, so that's on its way there at the moment, but that's been the story of this project. I didn't used to be grey. Just have a look at that for a moment. So this work started in around about 2000 with zero followers of Jesus on a small island called Buzu. There are now 220 churches, 560 leaders, 11,500 followers of Jesus. And this last year, they don't use the word baptized because it's a Christian word that doesn't go well in a folk Islamic community. So we do a ceremony of washing. So we did a ceremony of washing for 1,410 new believers. Pretty cool, isn't it? All done with local people, not pale-faced people like me. The guy on the right, his name is Jesus. He's not like the normal Jesus you see, is he? But maybe he's closer to the Jesus that really is. So now is on the radio station every week. It's the local radio station. And what he is doing, he's doing stuff from the Kotte Bible. And that's going out to 13 islands and all of the community. I just want to quickly talk to you about some people. Timmy, Sarah, Grace and Abby Hola. Timmy was a bit of a naughty boy. When he was young, he lived in the UK, ended up in prison, but got saved. Went out to Australia, met his wife, Abby. Abby, when she was 18 years old, and if you're 18 or that age or about, this is a good thing to do. She took for her gap year out. She went to Mozambique. She went to Angosh, and she was part of a team there, and that got her hooked on Angosh. So after a little time, they've decided to move out to Angosh. So we're visiting them there in a lovely city called Coimbra in Portugal just a few weeks ago, where they were learning language and they're now actually out, as you can see on the right, in Mozambique. They're going to be there for 5 years, working amongst the community with their small kids. Amazing couple. A bit like the Pinions, if you think of them doing what they're doing. Similar sort of couple to them. So we have a weekly radio program, we've got the farming, we've got the community centre. I'd like us to spend some time, if that's okay, praying for some of these things this morning, so that you actually connect with and consider what we're doing. So I'm just going to flick through these, and I'm going to get you, if that's okay, out of your seating, because I think it's too lazy sitting down, really. So we're going to sort of gather over here somewhere, and I'm going to get you into little groups, and we're just going to pray for, or maybe another group over here, some of this stuff. So those are the projects that you could be praying for, and I'd like all of you just to pick one of those. So pick the Mashamba, pick the radio program, or pick the community centre, which isn't quite finished and needs more work. The community centre is going to include a natural medicine clinic, which is using local plants to bring healing to local people. So pray for the community centre that it really gets up and running and works well. Pray for the Mashamba and the Farming God's Way project we've got going to make the farming more effective. Pray for that weekly radio programme that it reaches more and more people. So just pick one of those, and would you agree with me just this week, just when you're just walking around somewhere, just pray for one of these? Would that be okay? Yeah? Have you got one logged in? Cool. Who went for the radio program? Okay. Who went for Mashamba? Cool. Who went for the community centre? Good. So we've got a bit of each, so that's all right. Just making sure. Otherwise, I had to get you to change your minds. These are the people I want us to pray for just for the last 10 minutes of what we're doing here together. And I want just to tell you about these people. So José and Mariamo. José is one of the lads that I taught English to, who went and we helped sponsor him to go to Bible college. And I think actually Andy and Lina helped with some of that. So he's one of the lads who went and did that. He's been sent out by the church to go and work amongst another unreached people group called the Moani, who are about 5 hours away up on the coast, another fishing community. White missionaries have tried to go to that town and got thrown out. When José arrived with his wife, they asked him almost straight away, "So you're a Christian?" And he said, "I'm a follower of Isa." And they said, "Okay, that's all right then, you can stay." So these they're culturally Muslim, but they're followers of Jesus. And they're seeing that community changed. It's really tough. He lives in very, very poor conditions. He hasn't even got a refrigerator. He's hardly got electric in his house just about now. To get water, they have to go quite a long way each day just to get water. It's a battle to be where they are, even as a Koti person. The white person, I think, would not survive there, basically. So do pray for Jose and Miriamo. Talsalmo and Amina, we've sent them off to Nairobi. That's where they are in that photograph, to do Bible college up there. He's the guy who his neighbours said, hey, you can't be Koti the way you're treating your wife. He's going to be back and he's going to be running the marriage course, we hope. So pray for Talsalmo and Amina. And then also pray for Timmy, Sarah, Grace and Abby for those various things. We went to Lesotho, as Annie said, when we were 40 years old. We made a radical choice and made a decision to make a change in our lives. I'd recommend you do the same thing. Not that you go to Lesotho necessarily, but you make a radical choice to take a change in your life at some point. I think sometimes we're like stuck in concrete, and actually just doing the right thing might be making a change and doing something radically different from what you do. And I want to excite you with that today. People are often frightened by change. I would say it's about the most exciting thing that Annie and I have ever done. And I'd encourage you to embrace change. And I love your risk box. So keep going for that. Has that been okay?
Very good.
Good. Okay. So let's have... let's think about this. Could I get all of you just to come and stand over here then? That would be great. And could you form like groups of about eight? So let's have a little group here. Brilliant. One, two, three, four, five. Eight. Gather around, huddle. Another little huddle here. Here we go. Another little huddle here. Huddle, huddle, huddle. You can self-manage yourselves with this. You know, you don't need Julian to do it all. All right. Another little group here. Let's have one group back over here somewhere then, shall we? Just where you guys are. Okay. And that group can stay there. The wanderers, if the wanderers stay where they are and gather about here. And John can sit on the sofa here. You join in with this group. Okay. So I'm going to designate for you whom you're going to pray for. So you're going to pray for Jose and Miriamo. Okay, those are the things there on the board. Church planting amongst those Moani people, it's pronounced. But God understands your pronunciation, so don't worry about it. This group, you're going to pray for Talsalmo and Amina. Okay, Bible College. Just pray that they just absorb it all and they come back fired up. And they just really need prayer. I mean, when they arrived, they'd lost their visas. And they got in to Kenya by miracle without any visas. God is on their side. This group, nice big group, Timmy and Sarah and the kids, in a whole new world for them, yeah? Teaching their children in that context, being who they are. Is it, pray for their health, would you? And their well-being and what they're doing. Okay, going back here again. So I'm going to get you to pray for the Mashamba. Would that be okay? And those Mashamba ladies. So the Mashamba is a place, out of town, tough place to live, very challenging environment, and we're teaching them with Farming God's Way how to do things in a new way. Can you pray that they grab a hold of that? If once you've got bored with praying for the thing you're praying for, then pray for something else, but just start with these. All right. Could you pray for Jesus and the radio program? All right. That'd be cool. Don't need to say any more about that. And what was the last thing, Annie? Dun, dun. Community centre. Thank you. Could you? That's good. We've got Alistair here because he's like a development man. So community centre. So many different things going on, business, enterprise, language training, youth, all of that. Okay, away you go. Let's pray.
Cool. So let's just draw those prayers to a close. Just stay where you are at the moment. Could you just hold hands in your groups together? That'd be great. Okay. I just want to tell you a couple of other things about Mozambique, just to give you something else just to finish on. So Mozambique has a population of 23 million people. on the United Nations Human Development Index, which has 188 nations on it. Mozambique comes a very poor 180. The average life expectancy on birth in Mozambique at its best is currently 48. Mozambique has suffered wars, and currently Chinese people are buying up a lot of the land, a lot of the territory, and exploiting the place. And they're not loved, the Chinese people, by the indigenous African community. I'd like us just to thank God, just as we finish, for this nation, for this place, for the peace and the goodness that we have in our land. And I'd like to make a suggestion to you that you can take or not take. But can I suggest that maybe, and I'm going to be cheeky now, once a month, at the end of a meeting, when you gather here together, could you maybe pray for another nation somewhere else in the world, outside of the UK, and spend a little bit of time just focusing on somewhere else? And wherever God leads you or puts your heart on as a consequence of this Boldly Go series, maybe there's some places that you think you want to pray into. The reason why we're able to go and church plant in the Moani is because after every leaders meeting, every week, we prayed for the Moani people for years. The way that the work in Mozambique was founded was by people praying in Japan year after year. Your prayers will make a difference to places around the world. So can I encourage you to consider that and give it the weight that it deserves and make the decisions that you want to make. But there's a suggestion and an offering in terms of what you could do. Let's just pray for the UK and where we are today. Father, I thank you for this nation. I thank you that you've given us peace, health, safety. In world terms, great wealth. We pray that our nation would be an influence to other nations for good and not for evil. We pray our nation would be a nation that brings peace to the world, that brings wisdom to the world. We pray for our leaders, that they would be courageous, that they'd be godly, that they would dream about you. We pray against fear, and we pray for hope. And we thank you, Father, for some of the great leaders that we do have in our nation, like Archbishop Welby, people who've stood up and made a difference and who call for reconciliation. And we pray for more people like that, Father God, and we ask you to bless our nation. Bless our families, bless our homes, bless the people that we work with, the people that we see on Monday. And we thank you for each and every one of them. Amen.